It's a good thing to gather in the precious name of Jesus. It's a good thing to assemble. It's a good thing to come together to encourage and build one another up in the Lord. We have people here from all over, California and Idaho and Duluth, visiting today. And there might be other visitors I don't know of, but we do have some special guests here today, which we'll hear from in a little bit. So welcome. I was impacted by the song this morning, Lord, Make Us Instruments of Your Peace. There's all kinds of peace out here today. There's all kinds of peace we can be bringing. But the peace that we bring is a special peace. It's not a peace treaty. It's a peace truth. And the truth is this right here. And through Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order, now listen, in order to present you holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. That's who you are. That's who we are. That's who Jesus has made us to be. Holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. That's who we are. Now, to go along with that, thank you, Bob, for singing the Lord's Prayer. There you are. Someone sitting in your chair. I looked right over him. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, really, think about it. If the Lord forgave us our sin and He took it away, I mean, really, do we have any right to be holding sins against one another? What is it that someone's done to you that's so bad that you cannot forgive them? Think about that. We have the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that ministry is? 2 Corinthians 5. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And don't get that backwards. He didn't reconcile us Himself to the world. Okay? He reconciled us to Him. He reconciled the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has given us that ministry of reconciliation. There it is. That's the ministry. So if you want to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't hold sins against one another, because that's not the ministry of reconciliation. And if it's really true that the blood of Jesus canceled out, wiped clean the books in heaven concerning you, then why do we want to still hold a record against our neighbor? So, that's my little encouragement. We give some room for people to speak. Last Sunday, we gave some room for a man to speak, and he took advantage of us. And, you know, you sit there, and it's, he was more damaged to himself. I don't think anybody was buying into what he said. But you have hope. You know, you have hope for people that they really have changed. And I knew this guy from long ago. Been in his home. He's trapped. He's encased in all kinds of bondage. And you hope that the Lord can set people free, but he wasn't. He wasn't set free. And maybe we let him go a little too long. I always err on the side of grace. If you hang around me, that's just the way I am. But sometimes that can be damaging too. But I also want to say this to all of us. The man, he was very critical. And be careful. It says in Galatians chapter 1, it says, if you see any man in sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one, spirit of gentleness, watching out that you don't fall in the same sin. And so when you get someone up here being critical, you know that the critical spirit comes out, and pretty soon we get critical. So be careful, body, that you don't fall into the same thing he was doing with one another, okay? So, Lord, I just want to bless this man and give him peace, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse our body from anything that was spilled out, anything that defiled us, Lord, that we can go on and continue to be the body that worships you, that represents you, that pleases you, Lord, in all that we do. So help us, Lord, as we go forward. Help us not to quench the spirit that's amongst us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been through things like this before in his body, and we have actually ended up quenching the spirit. We don't want to do that, huh? We want to remain a body that's free and not wanting to quench what the Lord is doing. So again, I want to say this morning, as we open up the mic here, if you have something to come up to edify and to build up the body, come on up. If we don't know you at all, if you're a complete stranger to us, you know, come and talk to me first. But I'm not speaking to you guys. We know you. We know you now. And we know you after the Spirit. So anyway, Adam was ready. He was jumping right up here, so he must have something wonderful.
Well, I hope it's wonderful. Good morning. Did you ever have one of those heart-pounding moments where the Lord is just saying, I forbid you to not say what I want you to say? I know there are times when it could go either way for me, and I praise God that you guys are patient with me. But I was challenged, and I stumbled into this morning. The Lord was challenging me out of the story of Israel and Jonathan and the state of the church, because Israel was the church also in the wilderness, out, you know, all these things that were happening. And they were weaponless. They had stooped to such a place of conformity to their circumstances around them that they were a weaponless people. All they had was plowshares, and they were allowed to do those things. And they were allowed to do that only for the benefit of the Philistines, to be honest with you. They had allowed them to get their crops and stuff like that. And then when it was just about time to harvest, then they would swoop in with their spoilers. And they would come and they would take the majority of their harvest from them. And I tell you, the challenge the Lord has given me this morning is that I think that that's where the church is at right now. We don't realize that we have weapons of our warfare. We don't realize that God is calling us to rise up and be a people and to stand in this day. We do not realize we're being sifted systematically by our president and our, you know, the United States of America, whatever you want to call it. It's a systematic agenda of the powers of darkness to erode away, and their plan is to get the people of God to not say anything, to hide in their caves. Brothers and sisters, we need to realize that we are hiding in caves. We need to realize that there's something being stripped away right in front of our eyes. Do we believe that we are in the last days? And if you don't believe it, let's talk later, and we need to get you saved. Because you are absolutely blind. You cannot see. You are like the Laodicean church that is wretched, miserable, and do not even know that they are being sifted of everything that's important to God in these days. If you are keeping your salvation to yourself, you are a selfish person. It says, Joel says, and I just ran into this, and I'm just going to tell you prophetically, he says, alas, that day is upon you. Beat your plowshares into swords. It's a day of war, guys. We are in the valley of decision. These are the valley. Multitudes are in that valley. Multitudes. Lift up your selfish mind and heart and look upon. The harvest is great, brothers and sisters. I don't care what stock, where you come from in life. You have something to say if Christ is in you. You have the hope of glory, and man is waiting to hear you. There's a time to beat your swords into plowshares. There's a time when we will learn war no more. There's a time, but that's when God returns and He brings peace. That kind of peace. But right now, the weapons of your warfare are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if you don't wield them, someone else will. God will raise up another. I am telling you, by the Spirit of Jesus, you've got to get off your butt. The days of lazy Christianity are over. The Lord will not accept it. The Lord will not receive this selfish Christianity any longer. The days of us not being isolated and independent from one another, and not learning our hearts, and not bearing our souls, and not being accountable and in relationship with one another. Those days are done. They're done. Never. Oh, Jesus, come. I want to learn the weapons of my warfare, don't you? They're so mighty. They are so mighty. They are. Read Ephesians 6. Put on your armor, brothers and sisters. Put it on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Most of us, and fight. Most of us don't even know that we're being defeated by sitting in our man caves. Whatever. They're all there, and they're just, it's like, here's what the devil does. Let's call his game out. He's raised up a president that is sifting away, taking away your rights. And the powers of darkness are taking away your rights as believers. It's not something, you can't negotiate with the powers of darkness. You bring them down. And you do it by the blood and power of Jesus. There's no other way by which man can be saved. There's no other way by which the powers of darkness can be defeated except Christ alone. Listen to this, man. These guys in 1 Samuel, Israel is just helpless. Guys, we need to see how helpless and how defeated that we really are. That we might find repentance. That we might find the gift of repentance, and what we can lift up our heads out of the sand and look. They would send these spoilers out. They would just go out at a certain times of the year and they would send them out and they would come in arrogance. They're robbing from... It's like if you look through the Bible, anytime the people of God were living in defeated states, the spoilers would come and they would never reap the harvest of the things that they thought that they were trying to get. God wants us to reap harvest. Learn how to reap. Learn, and you can't learn how to reap if you don't know how to fight. Fight for your families. Fight for your church. Fight for your community. Fight! Now there were no blacksmiths found throughout the land of Israel. Just because the government tells you that you're not allowed to speak against homosexuality, just because the government tells you that you're not allowed to speak against Islam, rise up, church! Because they're taking your women and children. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to understand. We need to understand. We are it. We are God's provision for this land. Help us, Lord. We need help. I'm afraid. You're afraid. We're afraid. That's not an excuse. These end times are coming without your permission. Do you understand? God's not asking you. You are His. You belong to Him. He's not asking you for permission when He can return. These brothers got me a little fired up yesterday. I just want to tell you. I thank the Lord for it. All right, and I will end with this. And please, God, guys, hear this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on, brothers and sisters. Stop letting the devil convince you that you don't need your armor. You need to be in the Word. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be in prayer. You need to know the Word of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did anybody tell you that when they tried to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you? That you were actually being recruited into an army? Did anybody tell you that your life was actually going to get harder when you chose Christ? Did anybody tell you that you're going to have difficult tribulations because you have dared to take Christ into your heart? Did anybody tell you that? Well, I'm telling you today, but I'm going to tell you it's worth it. I'm going to tell you that I have come out of confusion and I've come into clarity in Christ. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that I will be with Him. And I want to be a love offering for these last days. Though He slay me, so what? I'll be with Christ. Isn't that worth it? Find the worth in that, brothers and sisters. Find our worth in sacrifice for Christ. Find your worth there. We're holding on to too many worthless things. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is coming very quickly. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Brothers and sisters, we need to be girded with truth. Stop biting into these lies that we're living in, that somehow we're going to hold on to our family and our security and our home and all these things. It ain't happening, guys. It's coming down. The best thing you can do is hold on to the truth of God and learn how to stand for your families and your communities. Right? Use this time before the last days and our communities and armies and all these other things. Use these last days of peace that are here for us, this small window of opportunity to preach Christ. Oh, God help us. And let your having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking on the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watch out for your brother, sister. Watch out for them. Watch out for them. Get a burden for them. Get a real burden. Get off your accusations. Get a burden for them. Get a burden for them. Groan for them in the Spirit. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Pray that for yourself. God, open me up that I might understand the mysteries of the gospel and be able to communicate the gospel. And I'm done. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that in this I may speak boldly. I am an ambassador to Christ. My life is not my own. I've been bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I belong to Him wholeheartedly, fully. I am an ambassador. I don't get to choose my own life any longer. That's who you are if you want Christ. If you want out, go. If you want in, that's who you are. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The blood is upon you. You chose to put the blood upon your door. You knew that the destroyer would only go away if the blood was upon the door. Well, you put it upon the door of your heart, and I'm telling you to stand up in the victory of Christ and be the ambassador wherever you find yourself. Nothing is too difficult for my God.
So I don't know where all of you guys stand, but I know where I'm at, and I know that the only way I can get to where I need to be is with Jesus. And I'm reading a book right now called Own It, Leaving Behind a Borrowed Faith, and I only got past the I only started reading it, and I wasn't even through the epilogue, and this paragraph really spoke to me, and I felt like I needed to share it. It says, when you own your faith, you possess all of the love that God has for you. It covers you, fills you, fulfills you. It takes all the struggles that used to plague you and leaves you with peace. It takes all the sadness and replaces it with joy. When you own your faith, you are a changed human being. You don't rely on others to affirm you or to accept you, but you are still able to accept and love them. You are able to love unconditionally, and any rejection others may offer is no longer something you take personally. That's because when you own your faith, the love of God eclipses all other loves. And since His love is perfect, solid, and unshakable, you never have to fear again. You are never alone again, never hopeless or helpless. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, a life lived in the light is a life that is truly owned by the occupant. And that really spoke to me. And so I just encourage you all to really own your faith. Don't just rent it or borrow it. Or lease it. Just own it.
I was having pains in my chest, and just in our both sides of my family, there's heart disease. And over a course of years, I've had chest pain. It won't be all the time that I'll get really bad chest pains, and then what was happening would show symptoms of having heart stuff. And just recently I was having some, and Every time I've taken tests, it showed something. But every time they went in to look inside my heart, they didn't see anything. They saw a good heart with little plaque. And I just want to testify of God's goodness. You know, my family may have a history of heart disease, but I don't have to have that. I have the history of Jesus. And He is my healer, no matter what comes up. You know something, during this time period, it was very, very evident to me that the body of Christ was doing what God was calling them to do, because I felt the prayers of the saints. And somebody called me and said, I wasn't home, I was on my machine, we've got your back. I felt that. And for somebody that's having something happen that my dad died from, you know, it can be scary, but God gave me a grace, and I know it was because of the prayers of the saints. And God has been very, very good to me.
Spirit of courage, right? Not a spirit of fear. So, Adam, I don't know Adam from Adam, but I'm from the Twin Falls CERT team. We came here and did a training last night, and I got to sit in the car with Adam, and the one thing we had in common was Christ. The other thing was hunting. So, but, you know, I'm built up by you, man. I can come 28 hours, whatever it was, singing Frozen songs and songs about beards and stuff like that to pass the time, but I can come 20 hours and meet a man of God that lifts me up. You know, we come here to build you guys up, to train you, to be expert evangelists, I guess. But when we come here and see this, man, that gets us fired up. I know Rudy's fired up. I know this whole team over here is fired up. But I just want to give you guys some encouragement here out of James. Because when we're in the trenches in the battle, like what Adam was talking about, you're going to go through trials. But when we look at James, it says, to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But what does it say after that? If you lack anything, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and you'll receive it abundantly. If you have that faith to move mountains, to walk on the water in the stormy seas, pitch black like Ryan was talking about last night, man, it's either death or trusting in Jesus. And I want that faith. I want that faith of mustard seed to be able to move mountains, to be able to step up in my community and say, this ain't happening. Amen? I mean, we use that a lot, but you know what? It's going to keep being said. It ain't happening, man. It didn't happen that we're going to sit idly by, like Adam was saying. I'm just going to roll off that again. But that's where I came from. I came from the church of Laodicea, a lukewarm church. But here I am now, through the power of Christ, not anything of me, but through the power of Christ, to be bold enough to stand up and say, I love Jesus. I'm a man, and I'm in love with another man. And He is Jesus. Amen. Praise you, God. We just love getting to know you guys, and it's been a huge blessing. We love you guys. We'll be praying for you.
Up right here. Can you hear me now? Good. All right, so there's this whole thing about how Christians are hiding in caves, right? Right? Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. So that same verse came to me the other day when I was reading about Judges 6, about how our boy Gideon was off hiding in this it was a wine press. But was he in there making wine? Negative, Ghost Rider. He was in there thrashing some wheat because the bad guys kind of took over the land, and everything that they worked hard to make, all their crops, were stolen by the enemy. And like you said, Christians are too busy hiding in their man caves, going on their retreats, hiding from the real problems of the world. And yet everything that we slave and work over gets stolen by the evil one. And we wonder why the non-believers look into our church walls and see, oh, these guys aren't even doing this, you know, any better than I am. And how Christ is calling us out of that, that when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and saw him in that wine press, that every time the word of the Lord came out, weakness came out of Gideon. He asked some questions. Well, where was God here? And if God was really here, all these what ifs and why God, why this, why that? When the word of God comes in you, the weakness that was in you comes out and gets replaced with the word of God. That the angel that showed up to Gideon called him mighty warrior. Was he a mighty warrior hiding in a wine press? No, God doesn't call us because of our actions. He calls us according to His plan and His purpose. That is not upon our results, our past behaviors, but God has a plan to call us out of our dysfunction. That was not a functional wine press where Gideon was. He was in there with this whole, I gotta hide and you know, be small. That's not our calling. We don't belong there. But we see in the world today that the longer we stay in our dysfunction, that becomes normal to us. We stay in our dysfunction and we know it's not what God wants, but hey, this is all I can manage. And we stay there long enough, that becomes normal. That becomes a new normal. That is not our design. And people always say, well, maybe if I just got a better job, or if I got more money, or if I got this, the grass is greener on the other side. That is not the truth. The grass is greener where you water it. Right? It's not the guy needs to come out of the wine press. That wine press mentality needs to come out of the man. That is not his design. People always say, yeah, well, if I just move to Texas, I'll get a better job. Or if I move from Texas to San Diego, I'll get a better job. The job market. No, it's not. Your problems follow you wherever you go. You are the common denominator. You understand that? That winning is a habit, but so is losing. And I'm sick and tired of seeing so many Christians that have been losing for so long, they don't even understand what real victory looks like. So we gotta step out of that. Understand that our God is calling us to something more, something greater, and that we are capable of that. That just because the past does one thing, oh, this Bible, this Word of God, the Eternal King, by the blood of the Lamb, says I could do all things. We will see greater things than this. So thanks for getting me fired up. Calling us out of our problems. That yeah, in that garden of life, Satan will throw these seeds in your garden, and you'll start to grow things like worry, doubt, fear. The king is asking you, what is growing in your garden? What is growing, and do you really want to see fruits of that plant? Fear, doubt, insecurities. You want to see the fruits of that? I don't. Chop that down. Dig it out. And what do you put in its place? The seeds of God. When it reproduces 30, 60, even 100-fold, a legacy of victory in the land. That's what he wants to see. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. For allowing us to plant a vision of victory, a vision of power, not of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, God, for allowing us to plant that seed, not just in us, but as we go forth to our families, to our workplaces, to our schools, to the highways and the byways, for allowing us a seed of resources that is never ending. God doesn't come up short at the end of the month. You ask God, pray about that next month. Maybe I can get you that next month. No. The king owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And that is our Father. No prayer is too small for him. I don't like using the word just when I pray. Just help us with this. Just help us with that. Because there's so much more that we can ask for. You have not because you ask not. Ask for greater things and see what God gives you. You can't just show up to the water fountain with your little Dixie cup, pour it in, okay, that was great, but I'm still thirsty. Why don't you show up with a huge gallon drum and see what God will do with that? Let us open it up, church. Let's tear down these walls. We cannot contain this God. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you, Father, for meeting us here, for giving us a vision. Lord, I just ask that you would speak through Pastor Rudy when he takes the stage, that you would give him mighty words, Lord, that would pierce through the darkness, through the fears, through the doubts, Lord, that would find its way into our hearts, that it would find root and reproduce. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So these Marines and all these guys have been in our house for a few days, and they get up and they do push-ups and pull-ups. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about beards and buffalo and lots of different things and lots of inside jokes and a lot of joy and a lot of fun things that have happened. And these guys come in and they get us really fired up. But they're going to get in their car and they're going to go back to Idaho and they're going to go back to California. And I'm sitting over there wondering. Not wondering, because actually the Lord gave me a really clear vision of it. You know what fires them up? They open the Bible. And they do it over and over and over and over. And you have been such an amazing example to us. And having men and women of the Lord in our home. And for every question and for every fear and for every battle and for every prayer need, you have opened the Word of God and you have poured it out into us, and not just into Bruce and I, but into our little girls and into our friends and into our family. That's what fires them up. And guess what? I have a Bible. Do you? It's not because they're Marines. It's not because they have this awesome ministry, although they do. It's not because they have anything that we don't have. And when I said to Pastor Rudy, I really want to get a King James Bible. I love listening to the way it sounds when you read it. You know what he did? He reached into his bag and he gave me one. And he said, here it is. I have a Bible. Do you? That's what fires these guys up. And we've got it. Thank you for being a beautiful example of what the Word of God does in a family and in a church and in a ministry. We love you guys.
So, we all have different gifts in our midst, okay? And everybody's gift is important. Everybody's gift is important. Your gift is important. What you do is important. We just need to be doing what the Lord's called us to do. And don't just do whatever. Do what the Lord's calling you to do. You have to have faith that the Lord's called you to do something. Do it. And continue to do it and be faithful to do it until He returns. Don't quit. Don't stop. Do what the Lord's called you to do. And if you're not sure, ask Him. He's very much willing to tell you, but be willing to hear too, because if He speaks, then hear what the Lord is saying and do it. Do it.